Stand by.
Ready, Miss Sandport.
Okay.
Hello, Walter McGraw. Good. Be with you in a minute.
Okay.
This is Monitor and Walter Kiernan at NBC's Radio Central. Coming up, direct and transcribed during the next hour on Monitor. Lights out at San Quentin. A Monitor report from the Mid-Atlantic. Laughter with Honest Henry Morgan and Roguish Roger Price. And Monitor music from around the country and around the world. All of this in the next 60 minutes. Now, news headlines, Morgan Beatty.
11th hour, General Motors strike negotiations in Detroit. They continue. Religious rioting flares in Buenos Aires. Le Mans, death toll revised downward to 77. President Eisenhower returned to Washington. Now, news in fair detail. Religious rioting flared today in Buenos Aires. Catholic Church supporters clashed with anti-Catholic backers of President Perón. At least four persons were injured in the fighting. The Perón government has clamped a partial news blackout on Argentina, but the Montevideo reports indicate that the fighting continues. Back home, General Motors employees are scheduled to start leaving their jobs in less than an hour. Monitor's correspondent, just outside the negotiating room, has the latest on that story. So, it's Monitor to WWJ Detroit and Carl Cederberg.
From our Monitor listening post on the fifth floor of the General Motors building in Detroit, there is less optimism now that a settlement between GM and the CIO United Auto Workers Union will be announced before midnight. Local issues appear to have snagged a final settlement. We have learned that the union and company are agreed on the general or so-called national issues, but individual plant problems have dragged out the talks. As the minutes tick off before the deadline, it's after 11 p.m. in the East, it is believed the union will delay issuing a strike call if the talks extend beyond the midnight deadline. This much is certain. General Motors and the union have agreed on the general terms of guaranteed wages for the company's 350,000 production workers. That, in itself, is the goal of union president Walter Reuther. We do not know how close the pending GM agreement approximate last week's Ford contract. We do know the union can claim a form of guaranteed pay from the second of the big three automobile manufacturers. How extensive and what percentage of pay, we may know in a matter of minutes. This is Carl Cederberg, now back to Monitor in Radio Central, New York.
President Eisenhower returned to Washington this evening after spending the weekend at his farm in Gettysburg, Pennsylvania. Ray Shearer, White House correspondent, how does it feel to follow the president around these days?
Well, the trouble, Morgan, is his new little airplane of the president's. It's hard to keep up with. Ike takes off in his little hummingbird, and 30 minutes later, he's landing at Gettysburg or wherever it is. Reporters who are paid to follow the president around can't all hire tiny airplanes. There aren't that many, and it's too expensive. Now, take Friday, for instance. The president was flying up to Penn State University, where his brother Milton is prexy. He was going to land about 4 o'clock, so most of us wheeled out the family car and started out way ahead of time.
Yeah, I remember that. Ray, wait a minute.
Ace Washington reporters, you'd know their names in a minute, started on the trail in the family Ford. They loaded it up with picnic lunches, soda pop and all, but they neglected to stick in a road map. When they got to Chambersburg, they zigged when they should have zagged and wound up in Gettysburg, 80 miles the wrong way, and two of these boys Pulitzer Prize winners. Two other reporters went to the wrong airport at Penn State, missed the president. One correspondent came up on the train, had a transfer to a bus, took him 7.5 hours. Yesterday, at the commencement, it rained. President Eisenhower spoke outdoors in a drizzle. The other President Eisenhower, the college president, said he wasn't sure he should give degrees to those graduating in meteorology. Anyhow, the rain simplified traveling a little, too foggy to fly, couldn't even see the mountaintops. The president motored over to his farm at Gettysburg. And tonight it was dark, and so he was driven those 2 hours and 10 minutes into Washington. I don't know what the answer is, Morgan. Maybe we should all take flying lessons or learn to be paratroopers. This is Ray Shearer, now back to Monitor in Radio Central, New York.
I tried to stop you, Ray, to tell the people how tired you were, but you wouldn't let me. Put your earphones on next time, old boy, will you? By the way, there's one East-West meeting that's receiving very little front-page attention. It will soon take place in the heart of America. For that story, Monitor goes to Davenport, Iowa, and Herb Plambeck.
Diplomacy on the citizen-farmer level will be demonstrated here in Iowa next month. A group of 12 Russian agriculturists will spend 2 weeks in Iowa to see American agriculture in action. The Soviets will visit our world-famed corn hog farms, see processing plants, stop at Iowa State College, study rural services, and enjoy country fried chicken with all the trimmings. At the same time, 12 U.S. farmers and ag researchers will go behind the Iron Curtain to observe collective farms in Russia. The Soviet-Iowa Farm Exchange was proposed earlier this year by Des Moines Register editors. Messrs. Khrushchev, Bulganin, and other common farm leaders hope to gain know-how to bolster sagging Russian food production. President Eisenhower, with American farm leaders and the Iowa hosts, hope the exchange will help achieve better international understanding. To this end, Iowa will have the red carpet out for the red farmers when they visit here. This is Herb Planbeck. Now back to Radio Central.
Thank you, Herb. Something new in international relations. Now, a late bulletin. International News Service reports at least one dead in the religious rioting in Buenos Aires. And a late INS report also says that President Perón has ordered Parliament into special session tomorrow. Now, sports. Walter Kiernan.
Taking a look at the Monitor baseball scoreboard, we find that the American League pennant race tightened up considerable-ish, or with considerability. This afternoon, first-place New York Yankees drooped a doubleheader to the Cleveland Indians 10-2 and 7-3. Meanwhile, the second-place Chicago White Sox were taking two games from the Washington Senators, 1-0, 8-4. So the White Sox now trail the Yankees by only 2.5 games, and the third-place Indians are only 3.5 games off the pace. Elsewhere in the American League this afternoon, Baltimore and Kansas City split, with the Orioles taking the first game 7-2, the Athletics winning the nightcap 3-0. Boston and Detroit rained out. In the National League, the Dodgers maintained a very comfortable 10.5 game lead over Chicago by splitting a doubleheader with the Cubs this afternoon. Chicago took the first one 9-5. The Dodgers came back to take the second 6-2. New York and St. Louis also split, with the Giants taking the opener 8-3 and the Cards winning the second in 13 innings 6-5. There was another split between Milwaukee and Pittsburgh. Pirates won the first 5-3. Braves took the nightcap 6-5. Philadelphia beat Cincinnati 12-8. Second game of that scheduled doubleheader was rained out. And speaking of rain, what can you tell us about the weather in general, Miss Monitor?
No weather.
Next.
There's no weather. Everything's fine.
Next, our Monitor scientific note. You have only one chance in 6 trillion of being hit by a falling meteor during the next 30 minutes.
You're wondering about Miss Monitor, Walter. She was so fascinated by the ball score, she just wanted to check them up. She'll have weather a little later on.
About that unexpected rain, I think.
Well, it's Monitor time, which is exactly 8 minutes after the hour, a good time for music. You caught the muse. Now Monitor takes you to Birdland in New York and the Monitor music of Al Hibbler. What have you got down there, Fred Collins?
John Malachi, ladies and gentlemen. Ernie Farrell on bass. Charles Persip, drum. Didi. I don't get this bit at all because I'm just as hung as you are. And I'm sorry to hang out like this, too.
Well,
what's happened? I just got cut off. The whole thing. I'm getting France again. No, they're back to Monitor now. They just switched off the news. They're back to the Monitor show up at Radio Central. We're going to go on shortly. I hope.
You're on now.
This is a man in his shorts. Fred, you're on.
You're on.
Oh, we're on.
Yes, isn't it interesting?
I didn't
Millions
hear it at
of
all.
Potential viewers, our listeners.
But here, my goodness, is the great singing star Al Hibbler and his smash record from Birdland, Unchained Melody.
My darling, I've hungered for your touch a long, lonely time. Time goes by so slowly, and I can do so much for you. Still mine, I need your love. I need your love. God, speed your love to me. Lonely rivers flow to the sea, to the sea. To the open arms of the sea. Lonely rivers sigh, wait for me, wait for me. I'll be coming home, wait for me. Oh, my love, my darling, I've hungered for your touch a long, lonely time. Time goes by so slowly, and time can do so much. Oh, you still mine. I need your love. I need your love. God, speed your love to
fine. Thank you, Al Hibbler. Wonderful to have that hit melody of yours, Unchained Melody. Say, Fred Collins.
Yes, Ben.
We won't have time to stay with you any longer. We're just getting a sampling of what's going on at Birdland before we hop over to our next visit. By the way, is it Kenton who's at Birdland next week?
That's true.
The great Stan.
The great Stanley, indeed.
Well, there'll be a large order of Kenton music from Birdland when we have monitor visits next week at this time, or approximately, right?
And all the fans here at Birdland will be listening to monitor, too. And thank you, Ben, for Al Hibbler.
Thank you. Ben Brower back at NBC's Radio Central, back from Birdland and the songs of Al Hibbler. Speaking of Birdland, let's see, speaking of Birdland. Yes, there, at the end of our great massive communicator's bench. Here's a bird that just landed, our television monitor, Henry Morgan.
Thank you, Ben. Good evening, anybody. Here's Morgan with a fantastic new public service. We figure that a lot of people are out of town on weekends and miss their favorite TV programs, so I'm here to bring you up to date on what you didn't see. Well, first today, on your behalf, I watched the first hour of Monitor, this program. It was on both radio and TV, you know. It was sort of interesting. I liked it. It started with somebody introducing Mr. Weaver, I think his name was, the president of NBC. And Mr. Weaver, is it, introduced to Mr. Fleming. And Mr. Fleming introduced Garraway. And after a while, they introduced Clifton Fadiman. And during the hour it was on TV, everybody introduced something. One man introduced Hermosa Beach. One introduced Idlewild Airport. One introduced a quintet from Chicago. It's a new thing in radio. They now use five famous people to say what one lonesome announcer used to say years ago. Sometime during the show, they took us up to Harvard to meet the president. He has a very tiny mouth, in case you missed the TV part. Teeny-weeny little mouth. And he had a spiritual message. He said that churches were being built by leaps and bounds, but he didn't say whether anybody was going to them. Bob and Ray were on a couple of times, but the funniest part of the show, I think, was when they switched to Chicago for the Art Van Dam Quintet. The quintet started playing some very high-class music, oh, about eight bars, and all of a sudden, a very sexy woman's voice said, "The temperature in Aberdeen, Scotland, is 51, cloudy. Madrid, 68, cloudy." And she went all around the world, so that when she finished, the quintet was finished, and we came back to New York. Now, on TV, you didn't see the girl, incidentally, you just heard her. So in case you missed the TV show, you didn't miss anything. She wasn't there. Now, I'm what? Oh, I see. I've just been handed a bulletin. Your services no longer are required for the... Oh, well, actually, the job done in general on Monitor was simply sensational, but it's not my business to say so. Anyway, after a while, I watched some stuff you wouldn't care about in the late afternoon. Then at 7, A new program started on Network B. It's called Pride of the Family and stars Fay Wray and Paul Hartman. It's a family program, mother, father, the two kids. You've seen it somewhere. I'll say this for it. It's not controversial. This program couldn't upset anybody. It's probably true that many families live the way this one does, but the reason they buy TV sets is to get away from the way they live. There isn't a great deal of entertainment in discussing what's for lunch, even with Fay Wray. If you saw this, you might have noticed this coincidence. They were having chicken noodle soup for lunch with some sandwiches. They mentioned it about 5 times. And what does that say? I must say I'm Henry Morgan? Oh, that's what the other note said. That the first 3 minutes I was talking to Limbo, California. Well, welcome to our new network. This is Monitor, a review of the past. Well, I was telling you about this Pride of the Family show where for 20 minutes they talked about what they were having for lunch. The coincidence was the sponsor is Campbell's Soup, which was quite exciting. They also had a dog in it. But if I told you what the dog was doing, according to the story, you wouldn't believe me. At 7:30 tonight, you missed Mr. Peepers. Now, the plot was that he needed... Listen, if I had to identify myself, I'll explain what I think I'm doing. This is a review of what you missed on television this afternoon in case you were wealthy and went out of town for a while. It's a service, sort of. Well, the Mr. Peepers show that you missed, the plot was... Incidentally, all times mentioned are Eastern Daylight Time. The plot, well, you couldn't tell in the room I'm in because there are 11 clocks on the wall for people who get all nervous about what time is it in Istanbul, for instance. We have a clock for that. At the tone, it'll be 6:17 in Istanbul. Boom! Eastern Halva time. You wind up your own Turk. It says, this Peepers plot is very complex. Now, he needed a raise, and the school board wouldn't give it to him, but they changed their minds at 8:05 Eastern Daylight Saving Time. Now, this is usually... it's a fairly good show, usually, but sometimes they get so deep into a kind of winsomeness that they're in danger of choking to death on cuteness. For example, on tonight's show, or maybe it's yesterday where you are, Mr. Cox would throw away a paper cup at intervals, and you'd hear a glass crash. See, it still has got me upset. It's a kind of fourth-dimensional whimsy, you know, that's very nerve-wracking. Of course, while I was watching Mr. Peepers, I was listening to the Giants on radio trying to throw away a baseball game. They'd beat St. Louis in the first game, which you probably knew, but it was too much for their skinny blood. They were winning the second game, but they didn't really want to. And when the New York Giants don't want to win, I tell you, they have a kind of team spirit that you just can't get past. It took them till 9 o'clock Eastern time to lose, but they lost. La Palma was pitching, by the way, and the Giants couldn't hit him with their fists. Well, I tuned back into Monitor, and the sexy girl was giving the temperature in Copenhagen. And I have just been giving walking papers. So, Morgan will be on the same corner, theoretically, in front of... Again, I think next Saturday, roughly at about this time. Saturday. Thank you. Saturday. Good night. Sunday. Hmm? Well, originally it was supposed to be both. I think Saturday and Sunday, Ben.
Oh, why don't you come both nights, Henry?
I'd love to.
We'd love to have you.
That's not an invitation, Henry.
Nothing in writing.
Henry Morgan monitors television for you each week. Coming up, Monitor Music, Monitor Stars, Monitor News. Right now, this is Monitor Going Places and Doing Things. Take one.
Hit the opera, it's too highbrow, but there's one number I can dig right now. Just like shifting without a clutch, I ride the boogie with the Carmen touch. You ain't living if you have missed the long hair music with the crew cut twist. Don't love often and don't love much, but love that boogie with the Carmen touch. It rips up floors and knocks down walls.
They tell me it's the reason that Niagara falls.
It's even made Gibraltar rock.
It ain't the kind of thing a mockingbird can mock.
The day it hit in old Bombay,
a Hindu couldn't charm a snake away.
They say in French, in Greek and Dutch,
the boogie wasn't boogie till it got the Carmen touch.
Thank you.
General Motors and CIO negotiators are exactly 40 minutes from strike deadline. For a 25-second checkup on this to WWJ Detroit and Carl Sederberg.
We are still here on the fifth floor corridor of the General Motors building, where down the hall, the negotiators for the UAW and the General Motors Corporation continue their negotiations. We understand that local issues appear to have snagged the final settlement. However, we have learned that the union and company are agreed on the general or so-called national issues, but individual plant problems have dragged out the talks. And it is believed the union will delay issuing a strike call if the talks extend beyond the midnight deadline. This is Carl Sederberg, now back to Monitor in Radio Central, New York.
Back at Monitor, the new NBC radio service, and now a Monitor historical fact. Lincoln's Gettysburg Address was 725 Court Street.
On the move again to the Blue Note in Chicago, this time in the Monitor music of Sorta Finnegan.
Righto. Here we are in Chicago, and we're right here in the Blue Note, and I'd like to correct an address error I made on an earlier pickup. We're here at Madison and Clark. I moved a whole building the last time. And we're all set now with the brilliant music of Sauter and Finnegan, and here is our first selection tonight before an enchanted audience, and it's the wonderful marching song from Battle Cry, Honey Babe, a tremendous arrangement. Take it. Honey Babe, done for you by the Sauter Finnegan Orchestra. Bill Finnegan led that one. Eddie Sauter steps up in front of the band now, and Bill Finnegan stands beside me while I ask him a question. What are you going to do for us next, and why?
Well, we have a piece of violence by Eddie. It's called The Loop, about Chicago. The Loop from Chicago, that is.
That makes a great deal of sense, Bill, because that's right where we're broadcasting from, is The Loop in Chicago. This is a tremendous tone poem type of thing with excitement and some noise. Huh?
Much excitement, like The Loop.
Suppose you cue Eddie to cue the band and let's hear it.
All right.
All right, Ed.
Yes.
Thank you, Tom Erskine at the Blue Note in Chicago. That was the music of the Sauter Finnegan Orchestra, broadcast through the courtesy of the American Federation of Musicians, James C. Petrillo, President.
Here's a golfing tip from Monitor's Spunky Sports Department. If you are topping your drives, try turning the ball upside down.
The time, 29 minutes after the hour. In Manila, 12:30 a.m. in Shanghai, 2:30 a.m. in Sydney, Paris, 4:30 a.m. In the next half hour, Monitor goes to San Quentin, Washington, D.C., Hollywood, California, Hamburg, Germany. Stand by as we monitor the world for you, direct and transcribed.
This is Monitor, NBC's new radio service.
Back with Monitor, direct and transcribed from New York's Radio Central. 30 minutes of music and action yet to go. Ben, what's next in sight?
Well, Morgan, on tap right now, a short hop over to New York's fashionable East 50s. We now monitor the Embers, a jazz parlor Artie Shaw and George Shearing had at one time both called home. Monitor moves now to the Embers in New York, and the monitor music of Jack Elliott Trio. Is our man about Midtown there, Fred Collins?
Righto, Ben, and here we go with Jack Elliott and the trio from Embers and Lullaby of Birdland. Thank you. And here, Ben, is Jack Elliott.
We'd like to play for your listening pleasure, ladies and gentlemen, our arrangement of Almost Like Being in Love.
Bit more, will you?
What was that, Ben?
Ask him for a bit more. Just a little.
Just a little bit more if something's got to give, huh?
Stand by, Washington.
Are we clear to San Quentin?
Hollywood, are you ready for us?
Hello, Washington.
Monitor, here in New York. Morgan Beatty speaking. Coming in to Monitor's hearing range, a Monitor report from San Quentin Prison just before lights out. Music from Hollywood. Droodles from Roger Price. Stargazing. And now to the United States Weather Bureau in Washington.
This is Bob Ferry from the National Weather Analysis Center. From late reports just received, it appears that thundershower activity, which has been so prevalent over the northeastern quarter of the nation this afternoon and evening, is beginning to let up, although showers are forecast until shortly after midnight from the Eastern Lakes region and Middle Atlantic states into New England. Some of these thundershowers got a bit nasty this afternoon, with gusts reaching to near 50 miles per hour at Wilmington, Delaware, and Lakehurst, New Jersey. The weather disturbance, which has plagued the eastern half of the country over the weekend, is forecast to move northeastward into eastern Canada, resulting in a slow improvement in weather for the eastern states during the next day or so. Light rain and northerly winds kept temperatures in the 50s throughout the Great Lakes area today, not much different than that reported at Fairbanks, Alaska, where the high for the day was 50. In the Great Plains region, it was fair with cool temperatures in the Dakotas, giving way to hot weather in Texas with 103 at Presidio. With low pressure once again in control from the Rockies to the high Sierras, thundershowers were frequent in this area with hail at Phoenix this afternoon and 55-mile-per-hour gusts at Pocatello, Idaho, and Farmington, New Mexico. Not much change in store for the weather in this area during the next 24 hours. More showers, while along the west coast, ocean breezes will keep temperatures on the cool side.
Oh, hi, Bill. Do you have something there?
Just something to hold everybody till next weekend, Bob. Midnight in Paris. Their time. Temperature 52, partly cloudy. This is Bill McMurray, now back to Monitor in Radio Central, New York.
And Bill and Bob, will you please turn off those showers? They're ruining my garden down in Silver Spring. Back in New York again, but just long enough to spin you out to California, Monitor takes you now to Walter McGraw and San Quentin Prison.
It's recreation hour at San Quentin. We're back in the North Block where we began this whole series of programs this morning. It's almost sundown. The men are milling around. Some of them are practicing on instruments. Some are typing. Some are playing checkers. Some are playing chess. But as for most of them, what are they doing? Well, what are you doing? That's right. Listening to Monitor. Gentlemen, can you hear me? If Mr. Nielsen of the rating people is listening, mark down 757 listeners to Monitor at the North Cell Block of San Quentin. With me is Warden Harley Teets. Tell me, Warden, is radio important to these men?
We think it's especially important. It's an escape, it's recreation, it's education. They need it.
This is the easiest escape from San Quentin.
I hope so.
Do they have any favorite programs?
Yes, there are a number of, favorite programs, but probably because so many of our men are from the Los Angeles area, one of the favorite programs is Dragnet. It is known locally as This Is Your Life.
Warden, will you excuse me just one moment? You can hear reaction to everything we say in the block. The men are listening. If you excuse me one moment, Warden, I'm going over and talk to a man we talked to earlier today. If you'll recall, we talked to a young man who's going to hit the bricks tomorrow. He's going to be out on parole. Tell me, this is your last night at San Quentin. How's it feel?
Pretty nervous and hopeful. Kind of scared.
You say nervous. Nervous about what?
Well, it's been a long time since I've been out there.
How long?
4 years. It'll be all new to me.
Expect a lot of changes?
I hope so.
You hope so. What way? For you?
For me, yes. Better chance out there.
How many terms have you served?
Two.
That's your second. You didn't make it before. What makes you think you'll make it at this time?
Well, now I have a trade as automobile mechanic. I have more confidence in myself.
Why do you think you didn't make it before?
Well, no trade. I had just skipping from job to job. Just more or less couldn't find my place.
Have a family?
Yes, I have a wife and two children.
Are they going to be waiting for you?
Yes, sir.
Think that'll help?
Very much.
Anything you'd like to say?
No, that about covers it all.
Well, on behalf of a lot of people who are listening, wish you all the luck in the world, and I hope that a lot of people listening will understand the problem of the paroled man a little more after today. Thanks a lot, and good luck. Back to Warden Teets. Tell me, Warden, how long have you been in this prison business?
I've been 19 years in prison service.
And if you had just one thing to say to the public, what would it be?
I believe I'd like to say this, Mr. McGraw, that I sincerely believe that we must apply the corrective measures that we do in the California prisons, but I also believe that signs of aggressive and antisocial conduct, which are so much a part of criminal behavior, can and should be detected much earlier, probably in the school systems. If persons were referred early enough for corrective treatment, I am convinced that they could be made into useful citizens rather than into criminals.
In other words, you feel the schools should be doing the job earlier, before the crime happens, that you're trying to do now.
I think that is what we must eventually come to.
Well, as I say, another night is settling down over San Quentin. Another day has been served by the men here. For the men up in Condemned Row, it means that they have one less day to go. We hope that you've had some understanding of prison life. In a few minutes, the lights will be out. And that will be another day at San Quentin. In future Monitor reports, we'll show you other types of prisons around the nation. You'll hear what it's like to be in a mental hospital, in a prison camp, in a reform school, just as it happens. On behalf of NBC, I'd like to thank Warden Harley Teets and Director Richard McGee for cooperating in this report. Personally, I'd like to thank Leon Fry, John Craven, and Ed Arno for helping out tremendously. Now, until our next report, on behalf of Peg and myself, good night and thank you. This has been Walter McGraw reporting for Monitor in San Quentin.
Thank you, Walter McGraw, for bringing to Monitor your on-the-spot reports from behind the walls at San Quentin. And now, free men are flying the Atlantic on our TWA plane. It's a far way across at this point. We don't know exactly where, but we're in touch. Come in, Jim Cahill, and tell us where you are and how goes the flight.
This is TWA Flight 860, still flying at 300 miles an hour, 17,000 feet out over the Atlantic, almost 7 hours from New York. We are 1,150 miles from the Irish coast, and 2,150 miles are behind us. It's really a thrill watching the crew members going about their jobs. Captain Paul Grade is back at the controls, having taken over for relief pilot Jerry Boxberger. Behind them are radio operator Henry Cornell and flight engineer Walter Davis. Navigator John Nunley is steering us to Shannon by celestial navigation and pressure patterns. Each of these men is tapped at his job, and each plays a vital part in this minor miracle, which is a flight to London through the dark night. It's men like these who have made it possible for TWA this year to mark 30 years in air transport. We return you now to Radio Central.
Thank you, Jim Cahill. Two-thirds of the way across the Atlantic on Monitor's flight across the ocean.
Well, Jim Cahill is heading for Ireland. Monitor is heading for home. We're moving into the home stretch. Time to pause for some talk about music, the international language. Here's a song Jim may hear over here. Monitor goes now to Hamburg, Germany, for such an Ach Wunderbar hit played by Die Drei Jules.
Fährst du manchmal mit der Eisenbahn, begegnet dir vielleicht auch mal der alte Jan, denn es geht ja gar nicht ohne ihn, auf der Strecke zwischen Buxtehude und Berlin. Oh, er kennt die Strecke ganz genau, viel besser und viel länger als die eigene Frau, und an jeder Kurve, da hört man ihn, fährt er wieder mal von Buxtehude nach Berlin, hört mal zu. Zu, jawohl, da kommt er schon. Ich kenne ihn sofort beim allerersten Ton, denn so pfeift ja nur der alte Jan, der beste Heizer auf der Bundeseisenbahn. Und am Bahnsteig 7, da grüß ich ihn, fährt er wieder mal von Buxtehude nach Berlin. Auf der Bundeseisenbahn und am Bahnsteig 7, da grüß ich ihn, fährt er wieder mal von Buxtehude nach Berlin.
Back again at Radio Central after Ox such a ride across Germany aboard the Archison, Topeka, and the Santa Fe. This is Monitor, doing things, going places. Take one. Music.
Now, in case the baseball teams you follow are in the minors rather than the majors, this roundup of scores is dedicated to you. Most of these are second games of doubleheaders. Pacific Coast League, San Francisco 6, Oakland 2, Seattle 3, San Diego 2, Hollywood 5, Los Angeles 4, Southern Association, Memphis 3, Mobile 2, New Orleans 8, Little Rock 6, Texas League, Beaumont 5, Oklahoma City 4, International League, Havana 4, Richmond 3, Syracuse 8, Montreal 7, Buffalo 2, Columbus 1, Rochester 8, Toronto 0.
Monitor now in its eighth hour, and much still to come. Music from Hollywood. But right now, the man who made droodle a household term, Roger Price, who has some sound advice.
You know, today we're living in an age of tension and confusion. I am, anyway. And I think everybody is, because people all over are looking for answers and they're not finding them. And they're rebelling. This problem is caused by people keeping their eye on the ball. Now, you take my second cousin, Clara. 5 years ago, Clara was as shy and modest a girl as you could hope to see. But she got disillusioned and she began to defy conventions. Remember, the last time I saw Clara, she was wearing a shockingly daring dress. The hemline of the dress was over 19 inches from the floor. This may not sound so daring unless you know that Clara was only 24 inches tall. Now, Clara's problem was caused by the fact that she always kept her eye on the ball. So we must all learn to keep our eye off the ball. Make that a rule. Now, I've worked out some little devices here that'll assist you in keeping your eye off the ball and making your mind a complete blank. They're what I call sound droodles. For instance, here's one now. See if you can figure out what it is. Ready? Ooh! 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 Now, that, of course, if you haven't figured it out already, was a horse doing the mambo. Isn't that cute? Pretty obvious, too, wasn't it? But now, let's get into a little more complicated one. Your mind a blank? Good. Okay. Now, that one's called A Nearsighted Bee Who Sat Down on a Balloon. Sort of sad, isn't it? Takes quite a few before the mind becomes a complete blank. Now, try to figure this one out. It's pretty tricky. That one's called An Elephant Cracking His Knuckles. Now, here's one that involves human beings, which should make it a little easier to figure out. And this particular one, I'll play the part of the human being, okay? Ouch, 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 ouch. That's called a nudist walking through a briar patch. Sort of makes you stop and think, doesn't it? Now, here's another sound droodle involving a famous figure in show business. Are all our minds blank? Are we keeping our eye off the ball? Good. Here's the sound droodle. That one is called Fred Astaire Tap Dancing in the Bathtub. There's no reason at all why Fred shouldn't tap dance in the bathtub. That's where a lot of his practice of singing. But so much for sound droodles for now. If you want to send me in any, I'll give you $5 for any one I use. But in the meantime, remember, keep your eye off the ball. Good luck.
Roger Price. Thank you. From the slightly out of this world Mr. Price to the utterly out of this world music of Les Brown, the most famous music hall in the world is London's Palladium, and Hollywood's Palladium is probably this country's most famous dance place. To the Palladium in Hollywood and the monitor music of Les Brown.
Have it, Ben. Ben Grauer, there you have the music of Les Brown. Famous theme song Leapfrog again brings us to the Dining and Dancing Center of the West, the Hollywood Palladium, on Sunset Boulevard in fabulous Hollywood, Cinematown, USA. Right now, I happen to be on the stage, or just off the stage, rather, and Les is up on stage directing his very fine orchestra. So I can't get to him to talk to him, but we certainly do want to describe our scene here tonight.
Hey, Jimmy.
Hi, Ben.
Can you hear me?
You bet I can. How are you, boy?
If you can't get to talk to Les for a minute, talk to me for 10 seconds, will you?
I'd
for old time's sake.
To.
Remember
you
when
bet.
We started the old announcer's room at 7-Eleven 25 years ago?
You're so right, Ben.
That was in the days of radio.
Yes, sir. And it still is the day of radio.
Right. Go ahead, Jimmy.
Thank you, Ben. Thanks very much. And now, ladies and gentlemen, may I present the music of Les Brown and his famous orchestra, his band of renown, as a matter of fact. And the tune they're going to play for you is I've Got My Love to Keep Me Warm.
In Kansas City, it's 59 degrees and cloudy. Los Angeles, 64 and fair. New York, 69, rain. Boston, 64, cloudy. Washington, 73, partly cloudy. Cleveland, 61, showers.
Have a little Hollywood music, Ben.
Fine, how about a touch more?
Okay, here's a little bit of theme again. Just to punctuate the fact that this is the music of Les Brown, this famous orchestra, playing for our audience on monitor from coast to coast from the Hollywood Palladium in Hollywood, California. And Ben, I can remember those days that you were just talking about, too. Some great bands have been on NBC through the years and still are.
You're not thinking of Coon Saunders, are you?
What's that?
Coon Sanders?
Yes, sir, Coon Sanders. I was really thinking of B.A. Rolfe at the Palais d'Or.
Boy, you boys go back, years ago. Don't you?
You remember those two, don't you?
Indeed I do. That's when we didn't use mics, just opened the windows. Thanks. Going to have to say so long, Jimmy, and to Les Brown and his band of renown in Hollywood. Music broadcast through the courtesy of the American Federation of Musicians, James C. Petrillo, president. In Detroit, negotiations to avert a General Motors strike continue. For an on-the-spot report, it's monitor to WWJ Detroit and Carl Sederberg.
There are only 4 minutes to go before the GM strike deadline. In the East, it is only 4 minutes before the midnight hour. We've learned from union sources that a strike in the East seems possible. However, we understand that not many plants in the East have midnight shifts, so an agreement announced during the night can still avert a general strike. To give you some idea of how hard company and union negotiators are working, UAW President Walter Reuther has had only 2 hours sleep in the last 29 hours. GM's Labor Relations Director Lewis Seaton has had but 1 hour's sleep in that 29-hour period. We have learned the company and union are in agreement on the principle of unemployment pay, but a final contract awaits the settling of a few local area plant problems, and the negotiators are working against time to settle those problems. This is Carl Cederberg, now back to Monitor in Radio Central, New York.
So you opened 7-Eleven Fifth Avenue 25 years ago, Ben, huh? You know, I learned a lot from Monitor today.
Well, you know, Walter, it's like a newspaper at your door all day long.
I will never replace the newspaper, though.
Are you sure?
Yep. Can't swat flies with the radio. The clock keeps on moving, drawing closer now to the midnight hour here at Radio Central in New York. For the past 8 hours, this has been the premiere of Monitor, your ear to the world and all of its happenings. We have... Obviously, that was one final sound our engineer had left over. I don't know what it is or where in the past 8 hours you were supposed to have heard it, but we wouldn't want you to think that we had held anything back. Here at Radio Central, we've done our best to monitor the world for you. As you combed the sand and salt out of your hair on a Carolina beach, as you made your way back into Chicago, bumper to bumper down to old Highway 12, or as you rocketed your way by crack train from Tulsa to Kansas City for that important Monday morning appointment.
Wherever you've spent this lovely spring weekend, Monitor, direct and transcribed, has been your Sunday companion this June 12, 1955. We hope that you'll be with us next weekend when Monitor will be your companion for a full 40 hours, doing things and going places. Next weekend, we monitor the world by taking you to San Francisco for the National Open Golf Tournament, to Fort Bragg, North Carolina, for the thrills of a mass parachute jump, to the birthplace of the United Nations for the UN's 10th birthday party. We take you around the world for a look-in on June weddings around the world. There'll be these features and dozens more next weekend for 40 hours, starting on Saturday at 8 a.m. Eastern Daylight Time. And now, this is Ben Grauer.
Walter Carradine.
Morgan Beatty.
And Miss Monitor.
All of us saying good night.
Good night.
This is Monitor, NBC's new radio service.